Okay.
All right. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the CCWG new GTLD auction proceeds call held on the 5th of October, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no names, I'd like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise. And with this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Ching Chou.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you very much, everybody, to participate in the call. My name is Ching Chou. I'm the co-chair for this working group appointed by the CCNSO. For Erica, she's not able to join this time due to her travel schedule. We've also have a few apologies this time. And so as usual, we would like to invite those of you who like to update your declaration of interest at this point. So anybody has a new declaration of interest, please. Please do so now, or please inform us so we can reflect your update on the CCWG website. Okay. If not, once again, it's the practice that me as a chair would simply remind you every time during the beginning of the meeting. I think during the course of the last few meetings, we talked about many of the issues, which is also related to this DOI practices. So I will hope that for those of you who have the latest update, please do so. But let's move on to the next item on the agenda, which is we discussed last time, defer this presentation to this meeting, having ICANN describe different options how ICANN should play a role in the solicitation and evaluation of the proposals. I think we have a couple emails back and forth in the last couple of days. We did have a survey which we conducted a couple months ago, and the survey was asking about the similar questions and also the contents that you'll be seeing this time in the next couple of minutes. But I just like to opening with a kind of emphasis that because this is also very important for us to understand the impact on the mechanism that the CCWG will recommend. So we have some outcome for the last survey, and which we also be doing similar things after the presentation, which we will talk about this later once we hear from Xavier. So I would like to thank to Xavier and also to Sam for their time and the preparation for this particular presentation. So let me hand over to you. So please go ahead, Xavier, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Ching. This is Xavier Calvez, and Sime Eisner and I are sharing the same line, but we're also both in the Adobe room. And the short presentation that we will make is the collaborative effort of Sime and I. As Ching indicated, the question 7 of the charter relative to the involvement of ICANN in the solicitation and evaluation of applications was discussed in several occasions, but notably on the meeting of the CCWG on July 27, and as a result of that conversation that day, the action was taken to solicit our help to illustrate the possible type of involvement that ICANN could consider taking in the process. So just for the sake of clarity, repeating the action item that was provided at the end of the meeting and summarized in the notes that Marika sends after each meeting. The action item is the 1, ask ICANN Finance and Legal to provide their input on the different options that have been discussed, internal structure, new unit within ICANN, or externally new built entity that would only focus on this work, or externally working with already existing entities. This latter option could also be a combination with the other two options. To be reviewed and discussed during the meeting on August 24th, and was intended at the time to be the timing of our feedback, and Sam and I have asked Marika to postpone the feedback to today so that we have sufficient time to work on a response. So you have now the presentation that we have sent a couple days ago for preview, and the agenda is here. Simply, it repeats the question or references the question, and we will go over a few slides that try to help clarifying the understanding of what ICANN's role needs to be in the various scenarios that are listed here. We may have relabeled a little bit the scenarios as a result of our preparation work to be able to clarify some aspects of those that could help differentiate the scenarios. So first, internal to ICANN, that would be either a foundation under the control of ICANN or a department under the existing legal entity of ICANN. Or second scenario, a hybrid scenario where ICANN and an outsourced provider or an outsourced entity would contribute together to performing the solicitation, evaluation, and disbursement and monitoring of the funds. There's the third scenario being the fully outsourced scenario where all possible functions of ICANN process of evaluation disbursement transferred under contract with a separate entity who has experience, competence, resources, presumably to do so, and an oversight is organized as a result of this outsourcing relationship to enable ICANN to perform duties. And then the fourth scenario is therefore what I would call a little bit academic exercise to compare with the other scenarios, but is a scenario that you will see in the presentation we present as a comparative of what doesn't work, and we will explain why. In this presentation, Sam and I will alternate in presenting the slides, and I will pass it on to her for the next slide on the guiding principle across the scenarios.
Sorry, Sam, to cut in at this time. So I just want to let everybody know also to get your consensus that we how do we, you know, handle questions? Do you prefer that we leave the question towards to the end or towards to each slide? So it's purely up to you. We would seek for your preference on those. Just want to add that. Thank you, and sorry to cut in.
No, thank you, Cheng, for asking the question. I didn't say that early. We think, considering the fact that the presentation is relatively short, we think it would be easier and best that we have all the questions at the end. If people feel that it's more convenient, which it may very well be, to put them in the chat, it will help us also make sure we don't miss anything at the end. But we would suggest that we have the questions at the end, because I think that going through the presentation will also maybe help answer some of the questions that may pop up in the earlier slides. With that, Sam will continue. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Sam Eisner from ICANN Legal. As Zavi and I discussed and prepared this presentation, we had a couple of guiding principles in mind to go across all the scenarios. And so when we were looking at the different types of possibilities, the four that Zavi just described, we held in mind that each one of them had to meet a few different tests. One was ensuring that mission is respected. We've had that conversation here before, and that really goes to the purpose that the CCWG comes out with for the proceeds, and making sure that the purpose of the auction proceeds is actually respected through the disbursement process. We also need to make sure that however the funds are distributed, that it ensures that ICANN's board and officers have the ability to exercise their fiduciary responsibility over those funds. So that makes, because as we've discussed before, ICANN always has responsibility to make sure that the funds are used properly. And so when we come to the larger slide in the presentation, we'll be talking about issues of governance and oversight. And then finally, there's an ability in every scenario to hold both the distributor of the funds, be it ICANN or be it a separate entity, as well as the fund recipients, accountable to the ICANN community. So you as the ICANN community should expect that those who are participating in this, whether as a distributor or as a recipient, have a mechanism to demonstrate back, to show that the funds are being used in an accountable method and how they were intended to use. So keep that in mind as we go through the rest of the presentation. And I'll turn this back to Xavier now.
Thank you, Sam. This next slide is something that you may remember having seen already in the presentation that I made a few weeks ago relative to financial considerations, and that illustrates further the points that and the principles that Sam just went over. So as a reminder, how to read this slide, you have ICANN on the left, ICANN being in this case the current organization and the legal entity, if you want to look at it this way, where the funds currently resides. ICANN owns the funds and fully and unconditionally. I want to be clear that today the funds are legally owned by ICANN. And as you go from the left where ICANN sits to the right towards the end user of the funds, there's different potential organizations or recipients, in quotes, of the funds that can intervene depending upon the modalities and the operational structure that is put in place to operate the solicitation, evaluation, disbursement. So we can decide to use a foundation or not to use a foundation. We can decide to use another type of party. That would be the next block there. You imagine that an existing foundation which works with other organizations would also then decide to disburse funds to those other organizations, and therefore you would have another intermediate a party involved in this process. And that second organization then may work with recipients of funds who then service individual organizations or members who benefit ultimately from the funds based on the desired and intended purpose. This is simply illustrating that dependent upon the operational mechanisms put in place, there could be different parties between ICANN, where the funds currently resides, and the end users that benefits from them. Throughout this path from left to right, ICANN has accountability requirements that remain equivalent irrespective of the number or nature of organizations that fit between ICANN and the end user. That means that the principles that Sam went over need to be met through whichever mechanism is necessary and appropriate, irrespective of the organizations or structure or length of the path of disbursement. This happens through policies and procedures to monitor the spend and the usage of the funds after they have been disbursed. It could take the form of audits of programs, of audits of entities, and those audits are intended to measure the effectiveness of the use of the funds. What do I mean by effectiveness? Simply ensuring that not only the funds have been used consistently with the intended purpose which triggered the approval of the request for funding, but also that the correct usage of the funds also had the intended effect that was approved. So, in other words, that the end user received the funds and that the funds had the effect that was intended. So this is very important because it will gets illustrated further in the next slide that we will start going over now, and Sam will initiate the description of what we mean on this slide, and I will take over halfway through.
On this next slide, this is really one of the ways that we were trying to answer the question that was posed by this group. So as we were talking through the issues of where are costs, where are resources used across the disbursement process, and who has costs associated with them when this process happens, and is it different if it's internal to ICANN versus that mix a place where both ICANN and an outside entity or multiple outside entities each distribute, or if we just assign the responsibility to an outside entity, how do those align? And then we'd also heard some suggestion in prior conversations, which is why we added in this fourth column, that maybe it would be appropriate to just hand over the money to someone we trust and wipe our hands of it and say, go do good things. And so that's how you have the four different columns. And so we started thinking about where are the specific resources going to be spent. It's very hard to identify what the individual cost components would be for this, but as we started thinking through, we realized that there were cost components on both sides of the equations and multiple times. So first, we have governance. And this is one of the principles that I was talking about earlier. There has to be a monitoring of the entire process. This is one of the places where ICANN would ensure its fiduciary responsibility. And this is one of the places also that we would have this idea of accountability across it. This is ICANN needs to operate in a way that it is accountable to its community, and its community should expect accountability for how these funds are being dispersed and used and used responsibly and used in ways that support the purposes that have come out. And so what we realized was that across all three of the first three columns, ICANN would always have resources that would need to be devoted to ensuring governance of the process. Now, if you look, only in the first situation where ICANN solely is responsible for the disbursement of the funds, would we not see external resources used in that? That's because there wouldn't be another entity responsible for being in the disbursement chain. We're not looking here at the resources that would be imposed on the end user or the grant recipient. That is something that we'd have to just assume would be there in any case. But across all three of those first three columns, ICANN would have resources that it would need to devote to making sure that its governance responsibilities over a disbursement mechanism were taken. So we also see that when you have other entities responsible for being part of the disbursement process, they too would have a responsibility to devote resources in reporting back to ICANN or reporting back to the community and in imposing their own governance structure over how their disbursement process was developed so that ICANN could have the correct monitoring facilities over that. So there's a situation where whether it's ICANN performing the work or an outside group performing the work, each would have costs associated with this governance aspect. When we get to the fourth column, if we just hand over the money to a separate entity, ICANN would have no way of monitoring or maintaining fiduciary responsibilities, so we've put a red circle with a line through it in there, and the external resources that that other entity would devote to it, we don't know. We don't know what they would even attempt to do with it. On the application process itself, so we can think about the application process, and this isn't trying to really define phases, but we were trying to think of it in terms of like the big groupings of actions that would need to happen. So we would see an application process as one where there's a solicitation of evaluation of applications. So that's where there would be a lot of responsibility for making sure that the purpose of the application process and the purpose against which the funds were evaluated were the purpose or purposes that the CCWG recommended, right? And that it stays in line with how we expected the funds to be dispersed. Are they going to entities that qualify to receive the funds? So it's the purpose and the fitness of the entity. And so in each of those, again, we realized there whoever was performing the distribution, be it ICANN or external, would have resources devoted to that work. And then in addition, even if ICANN was not performing the distribution work, ICANN would still have to devote resources. And in some ways it goes back to the governance, but in other ways it's unique to this aspect of the phase that ICANN would need to exercise some oversight to make sure that the process was being developed in a way that stays true to the purposes identified by the ICANN community. And then we get to the fourth column, and again we see if we were just to hand over the money with no responsibilities attached, that ICANN would not have the ability or have no way to assure the proper purposes were achieved, and we wouldn't know how the external funder would be actually using it and what resources they would devote to making sure things would happen properly. And Xavier, if you'll start discussing the disbursement process.
Sure. Thank you, Sam. So, looking at the disbursement process once applications have been received, have been evaluated, and have been granted or denied, the granted applications will then trigger the initiation of a process of disbursement. Could happen in one time, could happen over time in several installments. We're not discussing those logistics at this point here. So in each of the three first scenarios, ICANN will issue a payment or several payments to someone. In the first scenario, it will be directly to the recipient, possibly directly to the end user of the funds, as in a process that ICANN would likely need to design specifically for the purpose of this project, but that would be carried out, I would say, like within ICANN, under the authority and delegation of authorities that ICANN operates. It would likely be specific processes and procedures developed for the purpose of this project, likely with specific resources, but all under the control and authority of ICANN. In the second scenario, the process of disbursement is likely going to highly involve a third party. And in this case, ICANN will disburse funds likely to this partner in the process, and will do so on the basis of a number of checks and evaluations pertaining to either an application, an individual application, or a group of applications, or an envelope of funds for a defined purpose, for example, and that will therefore be under strict evaluations that all enable the fiduciary duties of ICANN to be respected, that enable the verification that the mission of ICANN will be adequately served with those funds, and enable the monitoring post-disbursement that these funds are used effectively and with the intended purpose. So it's, if you think about it this way, the handover of the funds will be likely a process that will actually be used to ensure the structural ability of ICANN to ensure that these guiding principles are met. So the point of time of disbursement, and to be very practical, and I can speak directly about it because I am the one at ICANN who releases payments. I can't create a payment because we have a segregation of duty where I cannot initiate a payment. I can only release it, but I would be the one releasing a payment. In this second scenario, I will release the funds to the party with whom we're working to be able to enable this disbursement of funds. I will have a certain amount of checks that I will go through every time I will release a payment to ensure that the adequate documentation has been put together, has been provided, that all the checks have been validated for all the conditions that we have determined are necessary to be met in order for the funds to be disbursed. Several resources of ICANN will be involved in that process for sure. If you push it further, scenario number three, most of the work will be of disbursement and monitoring will be outsourced. But yet again, I, sitting in my office, will be the one pushing on a button to release funds. When I do that, I will also ensure that all the guiding principles are being met through mechanisms that may be different than in scenario one or in scenario two, because they will be mechanisms of oversight rather than direct validation or direct control. But they will need to be controls and mechanisms of oversight that enable ICANN to, at the time of disbursement and after the disbursement, to monitor that the funds that have been disbursed at a point of time have been used effectively. That oversight can take various different forms. It will depend on the nature of the organization with whom we work, or organizations, It will depend on many different aspects. Could take the form of participation to the board of the entities. It could take the form of audits. It could take the form of contractual obligations that are met through exchange of documents. It could take many different forms, and it could take the combination of all those different options, but it will be an oversight. In this scenario, you can imagine that these various pieces or mechanisms of oversight will take ICANN resources to be involved in maybe very different types or level or qualifications of ICANN resources than in scenario number one. But it will take a certain amount of pre-work and post-work to the disbursement. And as an illustration under scenario number four, when there is no oversight, it's very simple, as Sam was saying earlier. We hand over the money and surrender at this point any possibility of involvement or inquiries, and we can only witness, like any individual public member, what happens with the funds, with no recourse, no possibility to either check ahead of time how the funds are used, understand and influence how the funds are used at the time of usage, and react to any usage of the funds that we would feel would have been improper. So there's simply witnessing of what happens here and no involvement. From an operational cost standpoint, as a result of what we just discussed, it's very clear that ICANN would have, in each of the three first scenarios, a number of operational costs that pertain to be able to check the consistency of the usage of the funds with the mission, that enable the fiduciary duties of the organization to be met, for example, to enable the directors and the officers of the organization to have documentation that substantiates the work of validation that has been done, so that they are able to verify that we are doing what we should from a mission standpoint, that we have a trail of audit of the documentation that enables to demonstrate that applications have been correctly evaluated, the funds have been correctly disbursed to the right individuals and used for the right. So all that will need to be documented and reviewed and approved and authorized. And this will happen in various different ways across the scenarios 1, 2, 3, and ICANN will have costs no matter what in carrying out those diligence of control, monitoring, approval, and oversight. I will stop here. We have a few appendices that can help with answering some questions maybe, but this is the end of the specific slides that we wanted to present, and we're very open to questions and discussions at this stage. Cheng will let you moderate, please.
Thank you very much, Javier. I think that presentation, in particular, as you mentioned, this page number 5 did brought up, as we've seen from the chat rooms, we've seen people start to raise hands. My first, personal, kind of intuitive reaction is that, firstly, we would, thinking out loud here, there's a couple of elements that we also need to consider while talking about those mechanisms. But I'm just, you probably can, once you are going through this exercise, one of my first reaction is that probably your CFO office probably need to double the staff size. In order to deal with all the, you know, the incoming challenges and work. So, but once again, thank you very much for this very, very useful metrics. And so let's open up for questions. So we have, yes. So let's have Alan first. So Alan, please.
Thank you very much. There's been a rather extensive discussion in the chat going on while the previous speakers have been speaking, and I'd like to ask two questions for clarification. Number one, my assumption is that column four is there not because it's been advocated, but just to demonstrate that it is not viable and is not really a consideration because of the lack of oversight. And the second question is, in the first three columns, there are costs incurred by ICANN. I'm presuming that all the costs may be incurred by ICANN, but they would be borne not by ICANN operational budget, but borne by the auction funds, because I think we had decided that this project should not be a cost to ICANN and any overhead cost should be borne by the auction funds themselves. Is that indeed what is meant, or is there some actual operational costs to ICANN borne by our operational budgets in the first three columns? Thank you.
Cheng, may I?
Yes, please, Xavier, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan, for the questions and for the opportunity of clarifying. So first, the column four, the scenario four, exactly as you said, and that's what I was trying to explain on the outset, the scenario number four here is a scenario that does not work, but that we felt was useful to offer here for the purpose of explaining the difference between that scenario and the preceding three scenarios, and what does not work and what it looks like. So you're entirely right. It is not an offered scenario. It is a scenario only for the purpose of explaining the difference between what works or what could work between scenario one and three and what does not work and will not be possible to put in place with scenario number four. Your second question, I think you're entirely right as well, at least in the way I understood your point. When we talk about costs to administer or receive evaluation or monitor or report, basically all the costs pertaining to the disbursement process of the auctions proceeds, yes, will be borne by the and covered by the auctions proceeds. I will simply take as an illustration the new GTLD program. The program, as you know, is a program that was funded, that is funded by the application fees paid by the applicants. And many different resources of ICANN and departments of ICANN contribute to the new GTLD program application processing and monitoring of this program overall. And so the costs of the efforts of these ICANN resources dedicated to the new GTLD program is carved out from ICANN's operations and annual budget and allocated to the new GTLD program to be covered by the new GTLD application fees. In a similar fashion, we would carry out a similar exercise of evaluation of the amount of efforts from ICANN shared resources, I would call them, that would contribute to supporting the auction proceeds process, and evaluate that fraction of resources. It could be 10% of Sam's time or 20% of my time or of somebody else. And we would then carve out this fraction of time and allocate the corresponding costs to the auctions proceeds project, and therefore those specific costs would be covered by the auction proceeds funds.
Okay, thank you, Sylvia, for the response. I think so. For number four, I guess there's a number of questions here. I think it's very clear now. Fully noted on the second response to the budget allocations. I guess that's good. So let's move on to the next one. So Sylvia, please, you have the floor.
Thanks, Ching. Really I appreciate. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
can you hear me?
We can hear you very well. Yes, we can hear
Hello?
You very well.
Sorry. Thank you, Ching. What I was saying was that I appreciate the presentation and all the aspects included there. I just wanted to suggest to have it separate in five rows instead of four, because although this applies very nicely for disbursement purposes, there is one big chunk missing, which probably will be, in my experience, the one that might give ICANN more grief, let's say, and that is the review of the actual technical outcomes produced under any projects funded by this. From our experience, being able to review a financial report, making sure that they spend the money, a grant recipient spend the money in what they said that they were going to spend is a complicated task, but is easier than to say this BGP project, it actually delivers to what they said they were going to do. So that requires revisions from us, the selection committee or from other experts, and that is completely outside of the scope of knowledge, or in most cases, of the people that are actually operationalizing due diligence, contracts, and disbursements. And it would be good to have that listed somewhere, although you guys have their monitoring, and the description on that line only refers to proper distribution and use of the funds, and it doesn't refer to the actual outcome of whatever is produced with that funding. So thanks for that.
Sylvia, this is Xavier. Ching, if I may answer that question or that
yes,
point.
Yes, you may, please.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sylvia, thank you for the question, because it will also help us clarify. So we may have used the vocabulary of proper distribution of and use of funds in the third row from the top, that's called disbursement process and monitoring. When I was speaking earlier about ensuring the effectiveness of the funds, of the usage of the funds, it's encompassing everything you just described, because verifying that the funds have been used effectively requires to be able to evaluate the impact, whether it's from an infrastructure standpoint, an engagement standpoint, an outreach standpoint, whatever the purpose was, that purpose will need to be evaluated, and the effectiveness of the funds to serve that specific purpose will need to be evaluated. So in that row three from the top called disbursement process and monitoring, we will need to put in place the resources that enable us to understand whether the impact, whether it's technical or infrastructure related, again, or for any of the purposes. So we encompassed, without trying to specify it, we encompassed completely everything that you described. So it's not missing in the way we thought about it. It's under that row number three, but I do appreciate the point that you're making, that ICANN may, whether directly or indirectly, need to put in place very specific either processes or resources and required competences that it may not have today in order to be able to evaluate that effectiveness. But that's what we encompassed in that row number three. Just wanted to make sure it's clear on that, and I think your point is actually illustrating how extensive that requirement may be, in that it will also need to be either carried out or monitored by ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you, Xavier, for the explanation. I'm trying to capture with the threats here. It seems that we have some issues on the queue for those who are having questions. But I understand that for Maryland, you need to drop off. Would you like to ask question at this stage, or you like to post comment? So it's up to you. Marilyn? Okay, so it seems that we didn't hear from Marilyn.
Sorry?
Yes, Marilyn.
Jane? Sorry?
Yes,
yeah.
Marilyn.
I'm going to be very brief, but I think we haven't actually heard from I'm going to suggest we hear from any government speaker and any CCTLD, and I'll post. I have another 12 minutes. I'll post my comments. But I'm thinking we haven't heard some voices from the government, from the CCs. So I'm going to ask you to prioritize those, and I will then I'll post online.
Got it. Okay. Thank you very much for the consideration. So it seems that we from what I have seen so far on the Adobe chat room, it seems that for Caboose, you might have your sequence has kind of we have some issues here. So if Stephanie, if you agree, we can let Caboose to speak first. Is that okay with you, Stephanie?
Stephanie has already agreed in the chat.
Okay. Thank you very much, Stephanie. I'm trying to catch up the threads here. So next, for Caboose, please, you have the floor.
I'm very sorry for this arrangement that I was on the second after Alan, and I will push to the five. For the fifth, somebody took me off and put me again. And some people saying that they have to go in 15 minutes to other meeting. I was in other meeting at this moment. I was in a meeting in Munich, 280 people discussing something important. I just left that meeting coming up in my room to participate, and I don't understand the situation. I totally disagree with this course of actions. I don't agree with any discrimination. I don't agree with any supremacy. I don't agree with any priority of the people. All of us are equal. If some people have some other commitment, they can leave. And I don't think that they could proceed with the others. Or at least from the matter of courtesy, they should mention that if the other person is ready to allow that he or she speaks before him. Disappointed, and I don't speak. Thank you.
I think we feel so sorry that the system itself. From me as a chair and also the staff, we have zero ability to change the sequence of who can speak first, or to add or drop, or even to delete somebody. So that we can be very sure. This technical issue, definitely, I think it's very important just to make sure that we have a fairness of for those who is willing to participate. So we very much appreciate, so especially from those who represent government. So we'll take the technical issue back to the staff and let them to get the Adobe to resolve issue like this, which is very very unfortunate. So Marika, I see your hands up. Do you want to add anything here for this particular unfortunate issue here?
Yes, thank you, Ching. I just want to raise for the record and confirm as well what you said. There's no ability for staff or any of the presenters to change the order of in which hands are raised. However, if someone has a brief drop in connectivity, it does sometimes mean that you've lost your place in the queue and you get added to the back. There is no purposeful reordering or any kind of bad intentions here. This is most likely the result of a brief drop in connectivity, which just means you get added back in the queue. And as noted, you know, people are very happy to recognize if someone was before them in the queue and have given up their places in order to allow others to speak. So again, I don't believe there's any bad intention at play here.
Right. Thank you very much for the clarification. So I guess we also, you know, we'll reach out once again to Caboose later after the meeting and have him to pose the actual comments that he was going to raise. I'm seeing his hand is being off, so probably we should move on to the next one. So for Stephanie, please, you have the floor.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Farron, for the record. And I do apologize if this has been discussed already today, but I didn't hear it. The two center columns look very similar. It's my gut feeling that even if we outsource and provide accountability through, say, a major accounting firm, we would still, as I can, have to do some oversight of the major of the contract through which we give the money away, and the not the actual micro contracts. I mean the process of outsourcing to another agency and the process of setting a contract to do independent oversight of that agency. Someone in ICANN would still have to keep an eye on that. Is that correct? And this is a really unfair question to ask, but does that automatically push option number three, the brown column, to be slightly higher because in some respects we're kind of duplicating the oversight? Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. Sam and I were thinking in the same fashion. So yes, absolutely, you're right. In both the scenario two and the scenario three, absolutely, ICANN will need to perform and involve resources in performing the role of oversight. You mentioned an external accounting firm, for example. The oversight or in either case, scenario two or three, the involvement and the oversight that ICANN would need to have will not only, if it would, rely on an external service provider or independent provider to help with that oversight. It would be a directly involved resource, ICANN resources, to provide that oversight. And maybe in addition to a third-party service provider that would help with an independent evaluation and so on. But no matter what, it's ICANN gaining understanding and comfort that the guiding principles, again, are met. So whichever way ICANN would enable that oversight to happen, it would involve it. You are right that that oversight, and that, I think that's true in both number two and number three, you are right that that oversight would entail a number of activities that would duplicate the tasks performed by the separate entity or organization that would have evaluated, for example, the applications. To illustrate the point that you're making, when you decide to select by sample a few applications and verify what work of evaluation has been done and go back to evaluate yourself whether the evaluation did warrant the granting or not granting the funds, you actually redo a bit the work. So, yes, the mechanisms of oversight would entail a certain amount of work that would represent the duplication, probably on a sample basis, of the work performed by the initial provider. Thank you.
Thank you, Xavier. So I think that's very interesting question raised by Stephanie. I think We will be reading the notes afterwards, and probably when the potential, the new survey that will be put together for to explore the preferences and interests for the working groups. I think on this particular number two and number three options, we will need much clearer, description. So I think the discussion is very helpful to help people to understand this.
What is going on? My name going in, coming out, in, out. What happened? What's happening in this other connection?
Hello, Caboose. So I can see your hands now. So it seems that the system drops you, and then it adds back you to the queue. So
Why did the system drop you?
I think it's a very clear. So, to let you know that we do not have. It's probably my first time over this many years, and probably others feel the same too. Is that we didn't know what really happens. It seems that it's the connectivity issue, but I couldn't say for Adobe, the system itself. But I do see that you were after Alan. So I do take that note just to make sure that I don't miss you this time. So don't worry. So I think after Stephanie, which is Alan. So Alan, would you like to speak now? To ask questions?
Yes, thank you. 2 points, or 1 point related. There was a discussion earlier about auditing for effectiveness and whether the projects have impact. I think it's really important to remember that in any process like this, a portion of, and perhaps a significant portion of, the projects will not be effective. So you win some, you lose some, and that's part of this kind of process. And yes, it's important that we evaluate things to understand it, but the fact that a project may not have impact or may not be effective does not mean it was out of scope. But that goes to another question. If we are evaluating projects and evaluating what the external group, whatever they are called, might be doing in scenarios two or three, what happens if we decide they made a grant that really did not fall within the scope? And I'm curious, do we allow a certain percentage to go like that, and then we take the contract or the responsibility away from them? Clearly, we can't necessarily get the money back. So I'm wondering what happens if indeed in those outsourced, partially or completely outsourced scenarios, when we do the audit and we find out something was done in contradiction to what we intended, what's recourse? Thank you.
Hi, Alan. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Yep. Xavier, go ahead.
This is Xavier, and Sam will complement what I will say. So you're right, Alan. I'm sure that it is possible that, especially as we move towards the scenarios of the right, that the originally intended purpose is not found as being met in some cases, some disbursements, or some parts of a project that overall was deemed to be meeting the purposes. And obviously, whether it's ICANN handling directly and exclusively the entire process, or if it's a different entity, that could definitely happen. So I think that that's one element that will be useful to be able to spell out and state up front as part of the structure of the process of disbursement and monitoring. I hear your point about, do we allow a rate of failure in quotes as part of the project? I don't know exactly how we would need to react. I think that the monitoring enables us to then be able to raise such type of issues and determine the right course of action, which may be very different on based on what the project was, what the issue that we raise is. You could argue that if a project shows that some funds are not used in the way originally intended or without any wrongdoing, it simply doesn't work. Someone thought if we do this, it will have this beneficial effect, but it simply does not happen. The ongoing monitoring may help us simply decide, you know what, we're just going to stop. We're going to stop spending the funds. Sorry. This illustrates a mechanism under which you want to have very timely oversight and control and monitoring, and you may also want to have staggered payments of funds relative to a project, because if you have only paid 10 or 20% of the funds to be used for a project, and you have ability to check how the project is progressing, then you have also the ability to identify issues with that project and stop the disbursements before everything is done. So that's Alan's point in theoretical issue is a good illustration of maybe a suggested mechanism of disbursement and evaluation that could mitigate that type of risks. Thank you.
Thank you, Aviet, for the response. I think those two previous questions are, it's very crucial for us to help to us to understand those two. I would also like to remind everybody, for the sake of time, we have around 25 minutes. I would like to leave at least 10 to 15 for the remaining one. So I would close the queue here. So I'll have Kavuz, Peter, and also with Daniel. So Ellen, is this a new hand or an old hand?
No, it's a new hand. I'd like to follow up on Xavier's answer.
Okay, so we will have this fourth, and then we close then. So next one is Kavuz. You have the mic.
Yes. Again, I'm very sorry that this Adobe connection doesn't work. I was putting in and out. Somebody says that there has no actions by any person, but I don't know how it happens. If there is a problem of system, please correct that. It is not fair that the people, when you open the discussions, Alan was the first, as usual, the first person intervened. I was the second. Then I moved to the third. Then I moved to the fourth. Then I moved to the fifth. And also, it was only me, no one else. What is going on?
Actually recommend that you make your comments. We do apologize for the mistakes or the technical, it's not working very well for you today. We really, really apologize.
Yeah.
But we
really
wish to hear your comments now. Yeah,
we're corrected. So thank you very much, Xavier and Sam, for the comprehensive presentation. I don't think that at this stage we discuss which one of these four scenarios is more favorable, but just be raising the question. With respect to the cost that should be provided to the fund, I understand that the cost center will be created for any of these four if we opt for some of them or one of them. And then I have the problem of the time attributions. The involvement of the ICANN in any of these four options are different. And I don't think that the time of the ICANNs will be double counted. They get their salaries and they get their costs from the existing budget of ICANN. If they do something for, they should have part of that is from the normal budget of the ICANN, and the part which is put for this should be counted as the cost of this. So we should not double cost for them. If they have 100% of time putting on this, the 100% of time will be from this. Therefore, they would have some saving from the normal ICANN budget. So I have to mention that this distribution or attribution of the time of the spent time of the ICANN should be properly counted in the cost center. This is something. And third, I understand that the involvement of the ICANN in any of these four are quite different. Therefore, the cost is quite different and should be differently discussed. When you come to the point which option you will take, I have some comment on the options to will present. Thank you very much, and I hope that the Adobe connection will be corrected adequately to not disappoint the people. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Avu's point well taken. And the technology issue. I would strongly recommend the staff to talk to Adobe. I think this is not, it makes us look bad. Why we using this, trying to get people to participate, then we didn't really bring up, kind of the fairness point, so that, people, can speak, in the right sequence that they deserve to. So once again, I really apologize for what happened. So the next one is Peter. Peter, please.
Thank you, Ching. Peter Verhoeten here. Since the very early start of this working group, the importance has been underlined of not looking for a mechanism that goes into heavy spending. We should be aware that the maximum of the funds need to go to the projects that are ultimately selected and not in any kind of administrative burdensome costly adventure. So I think if we're looking at scenario two and scenario three, what would interest me is, and just from a high level perspective, there's a fundamental difference between those two options in setup costs. And if that would be the case, then I would take that as an important criterion to make a selection between one of those two options. So my question basically is, if Xavier or Sam could come up with a very high estimates concerning costs for setting either one of those two scenarios up. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter. So probably I will let the next one, which is Daniel, to ask first, and then I understand, Alan, you have the final question, and then we'll leave a few moments for Xavier to respond to those remaining questions and maybe to make some final final remarks. So next one is Daniel.
Hi, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Daniel, please.
Okay, fine. I typed some of my question on the chat. So basically, I think we have to consider, given the importance of the legal liability, the fiduciary requirement on ICANN, I think we have to account for the timing, question. That is, when you do a grant, you have to do a call for a proposal, which takes usually is open a few months, and there is a legal requirement starting there that you're going to actually fund, along this scope. And then you start the contract once you find the recipient. And there is another contract that links the entity, the recipients to the funding agency. And during that time, in my opinion, it's likely the scope of this whole project is going to be refined and changed one way or the other because it's not ideal. We're going to do what we can. And eventually ICANN is going to decide on a scope, but it's going to be written somewhere and it's going to be implemented by the fund. So I think that we have to account for this risk that by introducing intermediaries, we're actually growing the chances that something goes bad in terms of out of scope.
Thank you, Daniel. Next, we have Alan. Could you make your comment?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
a number of the previous speakers have been talking about which choice to pick, and I think that's a really important discussion, but I think it's a very separate one from the one of understanding the choices right now. With regard to my last question, I talked about effectiveness and impact of projects and improper grants. We have to expect some ineffective and no impact grants. If we don't make grants with some risk, then we're not going to be doing some really innovative things. We can't only take the safe, absolutely safe ones. But I was particularly referring to not grants that are within our scope, that are within our mission and within that don't endanger tax status. I was talking about grants that are made that do potentially endanger tax status, that they're really out and they're not something we should have done, but we only find out about it after the fact. Do we envision that, yes, any process can expect some percentage of those and it doesn't really endanger our tax status? Or do we, by outsourcing, implicitly endanger tax status? And that's really the question I was asking. I'm assuming that as long as we correct it and, yes, stop disbursement if there's still an opportunity, once we recognize that it was something that we shouldn't have done, that we are still probably safe. And that's really the question I was asking, is the recourse for grants that are made that are outside the envelope that we have requested but are inadvertently made for one reason or another by the external agency. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Cavus, you have anything to add at this point? I'm just suspecting that we're closing the queue now. So would you like to make further comments this time? Cavus? I can see that from the chats that you're saying that scenario 4 be excluded. I think the majority of the members was on the call, they feel the same way.
Yes, if you are talking about which option, which scenario, I have mentioned in the chat that scenario 4 is automatically excluded because it is no outsourcing without any oversighting. That would be a mess and deficient. Then scenario 3, outsourcing with oversight, would be too expensive. And scenario 1, it means we have full reliance on ICANN, which is at this stage not very favored. So I am in favor of scenario 2, having involvement of ICANN with some sort of the outsourcing. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus, for indicating your preferences. So I guess I think after reading and also listening to that obvious slides, we have some preliminary judgment on your, also the preference on which option is more favorable. So I guess for the remaining maybe 3 to 5 minutes, we'll have Javier, to respond to a few questions that we do just listen from others and also make some few final remarks for this presentation. So please, Javier.
Thank you, Ching. And Sam will try to address both Daniel's and the point that Alan also made. And then
okay.
I will.
Okay. Yes, Sam. Yep.
And I will answer to Peter and Cavus's earlier points.
Great. So I think that, this is Sam again, I think that Alan and Daniel's point they're very related. And so the issue is, how do we make sure that the grants that are made are within scope, which also leads to within purpose? And I think this goes back to that accountability issue that, once we've come to the point that the CCWG has made their recommendations over the purpose, we'll have already tested that against the ICANN mission. And so will we need to have mechanisms, particularly if we're using outside sources, to make sure and have oversight that those distributors are actually following the purpose of the distribution and remaining accountable to the ICANN community and accountable to the purpose and the mission that was set out. Yes, and so that's why we need the different levels of oversight that Xavier was describing. You know, we'd likely have ongoing oversight. We'd probably have some tools to enforce. Maybe we'd need to go and find a different partner if it was really bad. Who knows? But I think, Alan, you raise a good point. That's one of the reasons why we need continued oversight over it, even if ICANN's not doing the disbursement, to make sure that the purposes that the CCWG has identified remain followed. And to Daniel's point, of course, in a long-term distribution scenario, there is a risk that ICANN's mission could change. But one of the things that we can add into the ICANN conversation, so ICANN's mission can only change in the future based upon a community conversation. And one of the things we'd have to keep in mind during that conversation is we still have 5 years left of a grant program. We still have 4 years left of a grant program, et cetera, that is built under this purpose. And so we would have to have the ICANN community consider if they really wanted to change that purpose midstream of the grant program that was approved through this ICANN community process. So I think it's really a matter of making sure that we keep all of these issues of purpose at top of mind if we ever go into a mission discussion, but it's a risk that we can mitigate against. So I'm not sure that having that's an area of choice between an external provider and long-term grant programs. We have the ways to start mitigating against that now if the ICANN community was going to go into another conversation about changing mission. Xavier?
Sure, thank you. Going back to the points that both Carus and Peter were providing, I'll start with Carus's comments. So hopefully we didn't confuse the conversation when talking about duplicating costs, that costs would be double counted. So no, costs would not be double counted. What we are saying earlier is that in some scenarios, we may have to redo the similar work than the organization that may have evaluated an application has done in order to provide oversight and monitoring and verification. So it would be ICANN's resources on a sample basis, for example, verifying the evaluation process of one application which has already been evaluated by the organization to whom ICANN has delegated that work. So it's not double counting resources, it's simply resources of ICANN providing oversight and in doing so may be doing some of the same work than the outsourced organization has carried out. Yes, Cavus, my presumption would be that the resources of ICANN in any scenario 1, 2, 3 that would contribute to supporting this program, that the cost of these resources would be segregated into either a department or even possibly a separate legal entity, but would be segregated in some kind of fashion for simple monitoring purposes, but also to enable the reporting and communication of, in a transparent fashion, of what resources are being involved in the project. And that would happen by, as I said earlier, if you take the example of SAM, for example, SAM provides services across many different activities of ICANN. If she would continue to support this project to a certain extent of her time, we would look, she would evaluate, I'm spending this amount of time on the Auction Proceeds project. This is about 15% of my time, for example. And what we would do then from a finance standpoint is we would split SAM's cost between 85% in the ICANN operational budget, take the 15% and put it under the auctions proceeds department or cost center or entity,
and that 15% would be covered by the options proceeds. So there would not be any duplication. Additional comment to illustrate the point. This project may and likely will require specific resources, either because of needs of bandwidth or needs of skill and experience, to put in place specific resources that I can just not have today. And those resources would be incremental, whether a fraction of someone's time who is already an employee of ICANN, or if it would be a new resource that ICANN does not have today, whether it's a vendor or an employee that would be dedicated to the program, to the auction proceed program, there may be need for incremental resources. Those resources, again, would be covered by the auction proceeds funds. Which leads me then to Peter's point, and I want to obviously state which something was implicit in Peter's point, but we do want to make sure that we do this at the lowest cost possible so that, as Peter said, all the funds that can be dedicated to grants can be dedicated to grants, and that we maximize this and minimize the cost. Without trying to quantify anything at this stage, I think that the guiding principles are something that will require us to put in place some mechanism. So it's not about what we're going to do or not do for cost effectiveness purposes. It's more how we're going to do it. So, yes, we're going to have oversight. How we perform that oversight is definitely going to be something that we will want to be cost conscious about, but we will not jeopardize, for example, ensuring that fiduciary duties are met for cost considerations. And I'm sure everyone is clear on that, but I thought it would be useful nonetheless to spell out which scenario is the most cost effective. Is very difficult to tell at this point. In any scenario, we will need to make sure that we are as cost effective as possible. In the scenario two and three, let me take first the scenario two. That hybrid model runs sometimes the risk that there is duplication of resources or overlap or confusion sometimes. So the clarity of the roles and responsibilities between the partner that is chosen and ICANN, so that there is as minimal as possible overlap and that there is as best as possible coordination of the resources so that the processes are effective, is very important and it needs to be monitored and improved upon so that there is as little resources wasted as a result. But that is a risk of that specific model, can be mitigated, needs to pay attention to it. The scenario one or three are slightly more clear because most of the work happens either in ICANN for scenario one or with the outsourced organization for scenario three. Under scenario three, the oversight of ICANN is something that definitely needs to be well-dimensioned, well-defined, and effective as well, and will require a cost consciousness as well as effectiveness. We would need, from cost estimate standpoint, we don't have those as of today. We don't have enough elements to be able to yet evaluate what the costs would be. But definitely as this working group narrows down its work to define more clearly and more specifically the purposes and directions on how the funds should be used, down the road it is very clear that we will need to provide and produce estimates of models, structures, scenarios that will help qualify what the costs can be.
Thank you, Xavier. I think what you just mentioned about the cost consideration, because I'm just thinking here for, you know, what are the differences because for the, you know, cost incurred we choose number one or three. So I think for many questions, including the cost, including how to, let's say, picking the right partner, to form this partnership, I think the group has some preliminary understanding. I think we brought up question number seven for this particular, question. We try to address that. As I said, in the beginning of this meeting, is that we think that we have a split view. And I think after the presentation, at this particular moment, I think the group has a kind of a shaped focus for what needs to be considered in order to make the right choices. I think for the next step, step back again. So I think at this point, once again, let me emphasize is that we're not trying to rush for any decision at this point. I would like to ask you, Marika, so the plan for us is to launch the survey. So Marika, how do you envision this to happen? Are you going to do this within the next few days, or do you envision that, let's say, the leadership team, do we have to work, let's say, with more thoughts, to how to design the question? What's the thought at this time?
Thanks, Ching. So this is Marika. So it's probably as well a question that it would be good to get some input on from the CCWG, whether people believe they're ready indeed to take the survey again. As I understand it, you would like to narrow it to the three options that are outlined here on this slide. And then, of course, you have different options in approaching it. One way could be to rank options. So we ask people to rank from one to three their preferred option. And then, as Ching has noted before, this is not about making a definite choice. This is about having a starting point for further considering those options. And I think as we discussed as well, that doesn't necessarily mean it only needs to be one. It could be one or maybe two or three that you want to further explore. I think as Xavier has outlined as well, it's difficult at this stage to really put a price tag or exact research a tag on each of these options, as to a certain extent it depends as well on how some of the other charter questions are answered. So again, I think the question is, does the group feel that it's ready to take another survey, either in the form of a ranking or a preference, indicating support or lack thereof for some of these, or is further information needed before you're in a position to indicate, again, a preliminary preference that may change, again, over time and, of course, allow you as well to go back to other models if at some point it turns out that the model chosen doesn't meet the expectations and requirements that you may develop in response to some of the other charter questions.
Right. Yeah, I mean, also I'm thinking here is that we have other items to be resolved. So I guess the next one, the open internet, and also there's another survey on the examples. We need to the group needs to review. There are 15 examples, primarily brought up by and also thanks them for the input, which is Daniel and also to Sylvia. They have 15 examples to be reviewed. So I guess we would take this and or utilize the email threads to work on those. Before I conclude this particular, I understand that we are passing through the 90 minutes limits. I would like to make sure that everybody has their comments at least for this meeting heard. So, Kavus, are you? This is a new hand.
Yeah, new hand.
Like
very briefly. Very
okay,
briefly.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If you hear me, very briefly, I don't think that we could ask the ranking on the three options for the time being. The community or us or the group could rank from the accountability, but could not rank from the cost unless we receive information from ICANN what are the costs involved in the option one, two, and three. So we don't know. if you want accountability point of view, yes, that it's possible to rank them. If you want the cost, it is not possible. If you want both cost and accountability, it is not possible. So before doing that, please kindly ask ICANN whether they would be in a position to provide further information about the cost involved in scenario 1, scenario 2, and scenario 3. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. Your points are duly noted. So I think we also talked about that, previously. So I guess we're good with number 4, and I briefly speak about the last couple of meetings we've been talking about the open and interoperable internet. This draft, the text, there is a small working group has been working very hard on this. I understand that prior to the call, I received notes from Erica and also from Jonathan. I'm not sure whether we still have time for this call to make more elaboration on this. Probably it's good that so the group continue to work on the draft. I feel that we're very close, but let me go back and check with Erica and also with our other members on the drafting team. So Erica, do you have anything to add on this one?
Yeah, this is Enrique. Not specifically on this one. I think what you said is fully in line with what I've seen on the mailing list. I just want to get a confirmation or clarification on the previous one, whether you want me to go ahead and launch the survey. As I think everyone has noted, this is just a preliminary indication of where support may lie. When we do the survey, it may also turn out that there is no clear difference yet between these options. I think everyone has clearly noted as well that further is needed as well for ICANN to provide further details. So I just want to be clear on whether you would like staff to go ahead and launch the survey so it can be further discussed and considered at the next meeting, or whether we're holding off for now and discussing it further during the next meeting.
Yeah, I think, it's clear that we need to launch another survey for sure, but I think this need to have more additional information and clarification as well before we launch it. So I guess we'll hold on to the thoughts, but let's put it in the to-do list. While we are getting more info on how to launch it and what would be a kind of a reasonable input to add in. Okay, so I guess we are pretty much 5 minutes past the 90 minutes. So I guess we would like to close the meeting by saying thanks to everybody. We do have one item which we can probably move to the mailing list and also to the next meeting to decide it's the CCWG meeting at the ICANN 60. We have a survey there, so if you haven't filled it up, please do so. There's a new time slot for the earlier, the part one of the session. So please do participate in the survey. So let's close it now. Thanks, everybody, for your time, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Ching. Thanks, everyone. Helena, can you please stop the recording? And everyone, have a good rest of the day.